It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
It's Go Birds Radio. Elliot Shore Parks, James Seltzer with you for hour two.
I know this one.
Yeah.
Mos Def.
Look at you.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Look at you knowing Mos Def.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm impressed.
So this is probably 10th grade Elliot? 9th grade Elliot?
I bet 10th grade Elliot was a baller.
Of course, yeah. The best mixtapes in my car. driving to Central High School.
Yeah, 215-592-9494. Back to the phones in a second. An intriguing question from Drew from Westchester prior to the break. And, you know, to his point, usually, and I think it's because it's Washington and they have been such a dumpster fire for such a long time that, you know, they really have been in a lot of ways out of sight, out of mind. You know, there'll be an annoying loss to Washington or whatever. We all remember the Super 2022, that loss. Like, there'll be those kinds of things. And then there'll be the random year, the RG3 year, where they make the playoffs or whatever. But, like, they have mostly been irrelevant for a very long, 30 years or whatever, of irrelevancy, you know, more or less, since they won those Super Bowls, the three and the Rip and one being the last one. Like, if it were the Giants or the Cowboys with the second pick, we would be talking about these guys nonstop.
Yeah, it's a good point.
We'd be like, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, blah, who's it going to be? Oh, my God, that guy's going to be in the division. We have not mentioned it once, one time on the morning show. We've not mentioned it one time on this show, the idea that there is going to be a top three pick quarterback coming into the division. So, good point by Drew to mention it. Your thoughts on, and it does look like, look, J.J. McCarthy, you know, has been rising and all that. It does look like Washington is going to take either Drake May or Jaden Daniels with that two pick, assuming Caleb Williams, of course, goes with one. Where are you at on these guys?
So, I think it's a good year to have your division rival looking for a quarterback. That makes sense.
I don't love either of them.
Yeah, but I'm not huge. I mean, I really like Caleb Williams. Obviously, he's going to Chicago. If Washington was getting Caleb Williams, that would be a concern of mine if I were the Eagles. In terms of who I think Washington should take, I would take Jaden Daniels if I were them. I just think his physical upside is so much greater than Drake May's and J.J. McCarthy's. Like, I would go with him. Now, he's only done it for 1 year. But ultimately, if they take Drake May or if they take, you know, J.J. or whoever, I don't think it's a big concern for the Eagles. I don't think none of those prospects are striking fear into me. Daniels would be the only one.
So I went into this draft process saying I'm not taking the North Carolina quarterback, period. That's it.
Yeah.
I would absolutely take Drake May over Jaden Daniels.
Really?
Yeah. First of all, he's 2 years younger. So he's doing what he's doing 2 years younger, which at that level really matters. Jaden Daniels was at Arizona State, goes to LSU, plays with one of the best supporting casts we've seen
his receivers
in recent years.
Were awesome
he's going to have two receivers go in the top. One guy's fighting Harrison to be the one, and the other guy's going to be a first-round pick. His left tackle is apparently, I don't know that well, but apparently going to be the top tackle taken in next year's draft. He also never did that much until he got to LSU. Also, more than anything, like, I'm nervous about that guy's body. Like, he is slender, he is skinny, and he plays and I love the style he plays with, but he plays with a reckless abandon.
He takes hits.
A reckless
and he takes,
abandon.
Like, upright hits, too.
And Drake May, like, look, I don't think he's going to be the best quarterback in the NFL, but he's prototype, man. Like, he's like the guy we all want, the 6'4", cannon arm, you know, built, like, can move. And here's the thing that really sold me. Everything that I've seen, and it's not like I've done deep dives or whatever, but it seems like he's got the leader of men thing. And again, it's hard to judge from afar, but the way the North Carolina coach talks about him, the way the players talk about him, like he changed the culture of what we do here and all that type of stuff. Like, it seems like his dudes really love him. He's, again, playing with a much, much, much less talented supporting cast than Jaden Daniels. I just think there's way more ways the Jaden Daniels things goes wrong than the Drake May.
So I think it's a fair argument, and your logic is good. I just think Jaden Daniels, if I'm taking number two and I'm Washington, I just feel like his ceiling is way higher. And you're right about the supporting cast he had there. There's some of those receivers at LSU I wouldn't mind ending up on the Eagles. So mm-hmm. like he definitely had those speed guys that helped him. But Joe Burrow had awesome talent around him, and he's turned in obviously an outstanding player when healthy.
No, you can go both ways with that. No
doubt. So I don't know if I
can
completely
hold that against him. And Joe Burrow similar to Daniels in the transfer and all that. He was at Ohio State, a little different than Arizona State.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, the 1 year definitely worries me. But my overall thing is, if I'm the Eagles, I'm not worried about either of these guys coming in the division.
There have been years where I'd be a lot more scared with the quarterback going second. Ben Kenny, you're the resident college football expert on this show. What do you think?
I like May a lot. He got screwed in 2023. His offensive coordinator left and took the job at Wisconsin. And he's kind of a moron, but that's a separate discussion.
Why would he take a worse job?
Actually, it's viewed as an upgrade.
Oh, okay. All right.
But no, like the North Carolina team totally fell apart. So while everyone holds this year against May, going into the year, he was the clear two behind. It was a Wentz-Goff situation.
Yeah, it was.
Now everybody holds it against him. I think the whole circumstance there hurt him. I've seen Jaden Daniels enough, like throughout his career, to I think it's May easily.
Yeah, nice. Look at that. I feel really good about myself.
JJ McCarthy sucks.
Yeah, I want them to take JJ McCarthy. Anyone who does, I can't wait for that. It's just
JJ seems like your kind of guy though. Like leader of men, winner.
But he doesn't throw the football. He wasn't asked to do it. I know. I don't love that. Like I want my quarterback to be asked to throw.
That doesn't mean he can't do it for what
I know that. Yeah. Look, he makes me nervous. If you're talking about taking JJ at the end of the first round, like that type
of
pick.
Yeah, I wouldn't take him like six.
That's my problem. Right. He's going 4, 6, 8. Like that's where it scares me. But look, I'm not saying he's a disaster. I just to Ben's point and the points I made, I would take Drake May. 215-592-9494. All right, back to the birds. And look, if you want to chime in on that. Again, it's a chance that we're going to see this guy two times a year for the next decade, you know, or longer. So it is a big influence, important impact on the Eagles here. And then Nick Sirianni. How much say should Nick Sirianni have on draft night? Elliot thinks he needs to have be a big voice in the room. I want him to barely be a voice in the room. 215-592-9494. Let's start out where we do every hour two at this time. Let's go to Vancouver and talk to our buddy Tom. Yo, Tom.
Hello, gentlemen.
What up, Tom? How you doing?
I have to say that this was a difficult hour to sit through after
hearing the start
of the show.
Yeah.
You know,
the battling.
I'm listening to this, and there's one thing I'm thinking with Elliot's little take about. First of all, Great draft takes. I like your draft takes.
Thank you.
But then we move over to Sirianni over Roseman, or Sirianni input.
Thank you.
The draft picks. And that Elliot, I don't know. I'm just picturing Ike watching the Masters while listening to the radio and staring at the radio, losing sight of Tiger Woods' shot.
Because tell me why you don't want him to have input.
Well, I think the big thing is that Nick Sirianni has not really proven himself, I don't think. He did a good job as the leader of men's side, but I agree with his points. And I think that if you're going to want to have coach input, that does make sense. And I think Drew's point about picking in the 20s, that is a good point too. However, at the same time, we have to look at why was he successful in the past and what's going to make him successful and keep his job in the future. And I would say that goes on the coordinators. So if I'm going to have input from anyone, I'd like to have Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio have some input in the draft process.
But then it sounds like we kind of agree. I mean, you're saying you want the coordinators to have a say.
I'm fine with the coordinators having a say.
That's basically, I get what you're saying. You're
diminishing. This is anti-Nick.
But Nick is the head coach. Nick and Kellen
are... Right, but he just came off one of the worst collapses we've ever seen.
But so did Howie.
Howie's not out there coaching the team. Again, I'll go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. When I look at last season, I think the single worst thing about the team last year was the coaching. Nick Sirianni. I think what he was in charge of, and obviously there's tentacles to it, but I think what Nick Sirianni was in charge of was the worst part of the Eagles last year.
So
I'm not going to be here. Take the reins, buddy.
So to you and to Tom, because Tom said something in there that caught my attention. Nick hasn't proven himself yet. What would Nick have had to do over these past years, other than finish the job and win the Super Bowl, to prove himself?
He would have had to have been able to turn the team around when they started.
Yes, be able to fix something, but instead of it just free falling and never getting fixed. Like, do something.
Do you think Jalen's proved himself?
No, of course not.
Okay, all right, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah,
I actually agree with James on that. I thought he'd proven himself.
Yeah, me too, and Tom. And then last year happened. That's exactly right. Like, and I have to step back. And I still believe in Jalen. I believe in Jalen more than Nick. We've talked about that. But no, Jalen still has a lot to prove. Absolutely.
You know what I have etched in my mind? It's that image of the interview where Nick Sirianni was asked the question about fixing the offense. And I think it might have been to do with the blitz. I'm not 100% sure on that part.
It probably was based off how last year went, but yeah.
And his answer was, if I knew how to fix it, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that not right? Did he
not say
something?
It's a devastating thing.
I don't remember.
Devastating thing Greg Coach would say.
It was a brutal, brutal answer. And I was imagining if he were in a job interview, he would not have gotten a job.
You're damn right, Tom. Tom, great call, brother. Great call.
Thanks, guys.
Love it. We'll talk to you next week. Yeah, I'm right there. I mean, like, again, that is it. When you watch Nick, again, yes, he had a great year in 2022, and I thought he was better than he was. But when you watch the season play out last year and you see him not have any answers and you see these things happening week after week after week, and yes, players deserve blame too. I'm not saying it's all on Nick, but I think the biggest share of the blame goes on the coaching staff, and that was what that guy was in charge of. We just watched it. I'm not going to come out of that and be like, here's more power.
You think the coaching staff was the problem, you also think Howie and Lurie were the ones that put the coaches in place, right?
I'm not absolving Howie of any of this.
No, I'm
just saying that
him,
I think Howie has a much, much longer track record of success here in Philadelphia, of success doing what he does, than Nick does. I trust Howie more, even though, yes, Howie was part of what happened last year. But A, I blame Nick more for what happened last year. And B, I trust Howie more based on his history and resume. We have one great year for Nick. We have one nice year at the beginning where it started bad, and then they made the playoffs, and they got boat raced in a playoff. Boat race.
Yeah, 31 I think it was still a good year.
It was a fine year. Yeah. It was a solid year. We've had one great year, and we had one good start to the year that ended with the worst 2 months we've seen the Eagles have in our lifetime. So, like, what has he proven? He's proven that with 1 year with the best roster we've ever seen, a lot of people say, with the Philadelphia Eagles, that he can take that and lift it up and do a great job with it. 1 year. So, like, I just think that, like, it's not like Nick has proved that much.
So I think Nick has, obviously, in my opinion, proved way more than you're giving him credit for. In his first year, while we can debate if it's a good year, great year, whatever, he took a roster that people did not think would compete and brought them to the playoffs.
Horrible schedule. They didn't beat any good teams.
Well,
but remember
about 2022
stuff?
Then? Again, the schedule in 2022 was not tough.
I agree.
And their playoff opponents were not tough either. So
I agree. That's all part of it. Again, Nick has a great record. And he's done some very impressive things here, but he is far from proven that he should. Again, he might get fired 5 games into the season, man. Like he is far from a sure thing here.
No, but over the past few years, he has proven he's a very good head coach. Now, that doesn't mean very good head coaches
do
get fired.
He proved he had one great year, and then he's had a okay to good year, and ultimately,
I think
was
you're
a
diminishing
horrible year.
His rookie year for what it's worth.
Okay, he's had
no
one good year, one great year, and one bad year. Like,
yeah, he's had. Of the 3 years, he's been really good for 2.5 of them.
No, that's not
fair.
They
were 10-1 last year.
He's been really good for 2.5
yes,
of them.
Yes, he's been.
I didn't say he's been really good the first year. I thought he was good.
When they hired Nick, did you think they were going to make the playoffs the first year, go to the Super Bowl the second year, and start the third year 10-1?
No,
of course not.
But
so
Elliot,
they have overachieved.
Elliot. Start 10-1 is not something that's said. They finished. They
I
lost 11
that,
and 6, and they played the worst playoff game we've seen them play in a
yes,
long, long time.
I agree
time.
With that.
That's what matters. Like it doesn't matter that they were 10-1 in terms of discussing Nick Sirianni now. It doesn't matter.
Well, no, it does matter.
Other than in the fact that they were 10-1 and they had all time collapse. That's the only spot that it matters.
No, you were right that the second half of the season matters. Of course, when talking about Nick, it
matters
thing. Yes,
way more.
It matters more than the 10-1 start. But what I'm saying is, on a holistic scale of his 3 years, 2.5 of them have been really good. Now, the last part was,
one
it's
has
a little
great.
Like, how was the play otherwise, Mr. Lincoln, right? I get that, but the 10-1 start, me and you were talking week after week about how awesome this guy is, and they win.
It's not just how it played out. It's not just the actual record down the stretch. It's how it played out. It's watching this guy week after week not have answers, not be able to do anything from a coaching perspective.
I agree. So, but the 10-1 start was still good.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Richmond and talk to our guy, Justin. What up, Justin?
What's going on, friends? How are y'all?
What up, Justin?
James, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to say good afternoon or not.
Oh, yeah, we're good. You can do it.
Well, I wasn't sure from your podcast take.
Yes, if, I know. Right. No, okay. You just can't. Okay. No, just happy. You can say happy Saturday. Just don't call me like happy Monday. That's all.
Yeah, James is not a happy Monday guy.
Yeah, because Mondays aren't happy. I'm sorry. Don't say happy Monday to me because I'm not happy on Mondays.
They're better than Tuesdays, though.
Maybe, but don't say happy Tuesday to me either.
Yeah, definitely not that.
All right, what do you got, Jess?
Well, James, I'm going to agree with you first, and then I'm going to go to my usual side.
Okay, good. I'll take it. That's more than I usually get.
Well, you're correct. You're absolutely correct on the happy Monday take. Anybody that says happy Monday to me, I agree with the steak
take. Thank you.
So I actually thought when you guys first came on the air, I actually thought I agreed with you, James. But the more that I'm thinking about it, I think even just from a logistical stance, I think if you're talking overall draft strategy, I want Nick involved more. Because even if it's just from a standpoint, right, of who's in meetings with the coordinators more, Nick or Howie? Nick. Who's in meetings with Howie more? Nick.
I don't know about that. I mean, Howie's in a lot of meetings.
No, it's definitely Nick. It's definitely Nick.
We talked the Gannon thing. Everyone got mad at Howie because it was like, well, Howie's in the meetings. Like, he's in the meetings.
Yeah, Howie's in meetings, but Nick is in more meetings.
Sure.
Yeah,
so at that point, he's almost got to be the messenger.
He's like a translator? This is what we're talking
about. The coaches want.
Sure. So, okay, how about this? In the draft room, Kellen Moore can tell Nick what he wants, and then Nick can tell Howie. Yeah. I'm good with that.
This is going to be such a frustrating year because I can tell already everything Nick does
like
is going to be diminished.
So Nick
to
Kellen to Howie. I'm good with that. That's a
I think too, though, like to Elliot's first point, right? If we are talking about, do you want a wide receiver here or do you want a defensive tackle here more? Nick is supposed to be a CEO head coach, or he is managing the entire team. So at this point, he is still the CEO. He should have input on whether or not he wants to take the wide receiver or the defensive.
But Howie should have the but again, it is not Nick's job to pick the players. It's Nick's job to coach the players. Yes, he could say, oh, that guy might fit what we do better or whatever. But at the end of the day, Howie, the scouting staff, the people in charge of drafting players should be the ones drafting players. That at the end of the day is my core argument outside of even the Nick part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I fully disagree on that point, but I think your point is resonating me more with do I want Jared Verse or do I want Latu from UCLA, right? I think when it comes to the overall makeup of the team, when you have a CEO head coach, that's what he's supposed to be able to have his pulse
on. Well, and Justin, real quick, because I think your CEO point is an interesting one, and I'll counter something you said, James. You are right that it is Howie's job to pick the player. But I guess what I'm saying is, in a roundabout way, for Howie to do a great job doing that, he has to take Nick's opinion into heavy consideration here.
Well, again, they're always going to look at what they run again, but to the point that I don't think we're running Nick's thing this year. I think they're running Kellen's thing. I think they're running Vic's thing. So, yes, he is going to take that into account. He's not going to draft a player who doesn't fit what Vic Fangio does, obviously. But that's my point, is what Vic Fangio does, what Kellen Moore does. I think Nick should have a smaller voice than even those two guys in terms of just what a player fits. Regardless, it should have final.
All right, so let's say at 22 they're on the board. There's two receivers there. They are going to pick one of the two receivers, and Nick likes one receiver more. And Howie likes the other one. Who would you rather?
The one that Howie.
You
likes.
Want the one Howie? Yes. So I would go with the one Nick wants.
Yes, yes, and maybe I'd see what Kellen Moore wanted.
Yeah,
see, actually, interesting, Elliot. In that point, I agree with James.
Yes, it's how he has to have the final say.
Well, I successfully turned you against me, so I guess I did one thing today. Yeah,
Justin, great call, brother.
Yeah, job well done. Talking to you guys later.
All right, always a pleasure. 215-592-9494. Yeah, this is good. We're starting to get a little bit on both sides here. Yeah. It started out a lot.
I can tell the Kellen Moore thing is really going to annoy me.
Oh, it's good. Yeah,
it's not fair. It's not fair to Nick.
What do you mean it's not fair to Nick? Because he just gave us 2 months of not being able to stop a blitz. We just went into a playoff game where Todd Bowles was like, all right, just send everyone and they're not going to be able to stop him. And they couldn't. Like, Nick barely kept his job, man. Like, fair.
But if
he should be grateful that he's getting a paycheck to coach the Philadelphia Eagles.
That
seriously.
No, he shouldn't be grateful. He's earned the job that
he
has.
He almost got fired.
And a lot of coaches have years where they have down years and they almost lose their job and end of seasons go poorly. Obviously last year was historically
so
bad.
So earn
in the
it
city.
Back. Have a great year, Nick. Dominate, and then
yes,
we can talk
I
about
agree
you
with
some
that.
Sort of saying.
But
anything.
Every accomplishment
right
this
now,
year,
you might not even be here.
Every
next year.
Accomplishment this year can't just be, well, Kellen's here now. All great coaches have good coordinators.
215 5
592-9494. There's two more segments to go. We're going to get to as many calls as we can. 215-592-9494. It's Go Birds Radio. We'll be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's Go Birds Radio. Ben Kenny keeps spinning them. Good work back there. 215-592-9494. We got about 30 minutes to go. We are going to get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. Let's go right to the phones, go to Collegeville and talk to our guy Nick. What up, Nick?
What's up, guys?
How what you doing, pal?
Summertime's living's easy. Bradley's on a microphone with Jazzy.
Oh, you guys almost had that.
Do you know that song?
No, I don't.
Sublime. It's actually a cover of an old school song, but it's called Summertime. Famous song. But that is the Sublime. He's referencing Sublime.
I'll have to check it out.
Let me just say this about it. I went to Sublime concert last summer. Yeah, you need to give like 3 hours of sober up time because talk about heavy puffing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I can imagine.
I'd imagine at Red Rocks, too.
Yeah, Red Rocks, too. Yeah. Yes. Comes with the territory there.
Elliot, let me first thank you. You made a great statement earlier. You casually said it, so let me just give you props.
All right.
I don't want Vic Fangio either to draft any offensive players. So that was a good take by you.
Thank you. Glad I dropped
take
that.
Of the day.
Yeah.
Almost as good as offensive guard. Yeah. Anyway, let's just talk about Howie's lifetime, okay? Because I remember Rick Rhodes and Rhodes as our coach and Rich Kotite and all those guys. So let's just not talk about that. Just talk about Howie.
Yeah.
Under Howie, all the coaches he's had under his regime has consistently made the playoffs and made deep runs. So for you to tell me this coach has been here for 3 cups of coffee, okay, and the first half a cup of coffee, they were terrible, so they ran the ball all second half of the season. And his last cup of coffee, they were terrible the second half of the season until they went to Green Tampa Bay and basically – I took the money line. I took -3 Tampa Bay, -10 Tampa Bay. That's how confident I was that our team sucked.
What did you think the main problems with the team were going into that game?
Listen, there's no question there's a talent issue, but we all agree that it's not just Howie that made a mistake and not just Nick that made a mistake and not just the coordinators and not just the players.
It's everybody.
Everybody's in this pot.
I agree.
Okay,
with
we
that.
Know this. So let's not get into those like fine points.
But so then why is Nick the only one that everyone wants to take power from?
Because he's been here for 3 cups of coffee.
So you keep saying 3 cups of coffee. He's been here for 3 years. They went to the Super Bowl. They've been in the playoffs every 3 years.
Yes.
Now, I agree. I think your point about how all head coaches have succeeded under Howie is a good one.
Yes.
Like, Howie is, if not the best general manager in the league, he is one of the best general managers in the league. But that doesn't mean that the head coaches under him are just getting carried around. Like, Nick has done an excellent job since he's been here.
Did you think Doug and Nikki Six was going to win a Super Bowl? Did you think that?
Of course. Well, I thought Doug and Carson would. I didn't think Doug and Nick
I didn't
were.
Hit you. Yeah. That wasn't the question. The question was Dougie P and Nikki Sixx.
No, of course not. No.
Okay. Does Howie have a little more to say in that Super Bowl than Doug?
I mean, I think that's an underrated great roster, that Eagles roster. But
I think they both did great jobs. Howie has helped Nick a lot. Because if Nick went to Carolina again for 3 cups of coffee.
Yeah, he would not be good. I agree.
But hold on.
But just to defend Nick for a second, before he got here, they won 4 games a year before. They won what? Yeah. Well, the year before that, they won what? 9 games? 2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken? Right?
They made the playoffs.
Yeah.
They made the playoffs.
They made the playoffs. You're right. But I'm saying, okay, let's not act like this team was, you know, Super Bowl contender year after year after year. Like, when Nick got here, he helped turn this around.
It was also the best. Again, you said it yourself,
awesome,
the best Eagles roster you've ever seen.
But all great teams have great
rosters. But is it the best you've ever seen?
It was a great roster. I agree with you.
The best Eagles roster I've ever seen. Go ahead, Nick.
Let me just finish this. Until Nick Sirianni starts drafting guys like Patrick Mahone, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce out of, like, deep draft picks, then he can take control of my franchise. But until then, no thank you, brother. Win a game.
Nick, great call, as always. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Jersey and talk to our buddy Joe. Hey, pal.
How's it going, Prince ESP?
What up, Joe?
You know, Prince, I just have to tell you something. About 6 months ago, I won the WWE tickets on the, for some contest you were running in the morning show. Mm-hmm. And I never got them.
Oh, no.
And I said, yeah, nobody ever called me.
Joe, next time tell me this way sooner. I'll help you out, man. You can call me right away.
Nick Sirianni would have made sure
I'll get this
tickets
taken care of. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But I'm not a big WWE guy. So then I'm watching this whole thing, and I'm seeing, like, Lane Johnson and Kelce. I go, what an idiot. I should have got those tickets. So I thought it was funny.
That's fine. Well, next time, I got you covered. Come to me.
No, I know. Listen, if it was an Eagle game or a Philly Met game,
you would have been calling me. I get it. Yeah, it's a good point.
100%. So it's on me, not you, brother. A couple of things. You know, and I think you're going to agree with me on this. I still got a disgusting taste in my mouth from the bubble screen and no answer to the blitz. This was an abomination last year. I went home. I was in my office, and you understand something, guys. I'm the only Eagle fan in my neighborhood. Like, I go into the gym, it's me and 1,000 Giants fans, okay? And people go, your sights for the playoffs. I go, we're going to get killed. They're going to blitz us, and we're going to have no answer, right? So great coaching makes these adjustments. We don't make them.
So, I think there is truth to what you are saying, that obviously the coaching has a ton of responsibility for what goes on in the field. And Nick and the staff and Brian Johnson, who's no longer here, deserve blame for that. But I would just ask you, do you really think that that coaching staff sat in their office day after day, week after week, and had no plan? Like, I think it's a combination of things. I think the players did not execute the plan. And for what it's worth, the players have said that they are the ones that mess things like that up. So the coaching staff deserves blame for not fixing it. It's their job to coach the players to be able to do it. But I believe it was more a player issue against the blitz than it was the coaches not having a plan.
And I don't. Obviously.
I know, yeah.
I'm going to, ESP, I love you. I'm going to differ with you on that. I would say that I saw some tape on the defense, and you watch people really screwing up their assignments.
Yep.
So I think that's equal. I just want to go quickly to the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about a short thing. Elliot, I'm not going to ask you about the movie this week. But I think if this guy Fuller from Oregon State falls to us, I think we have to take him. I mean, this guy's nasty. He's a plug-and-play guy right now.
Yep.
You put him at guard, there's Lane's replacement. And this is the other thing that's, you know I like Cooper. We got to get a linebacker. I like Cooper from A&M. I'll take the kid from, from North Carolina. But we need a linebacker in the second round. But this is what I'm thinking. You know how he always pulls a rabbit out of his hat, right?
Yeah, some sort of trade, some sort of move.
Latte Lulu. I think he may go after this guy. I just got that feeling. You know, this guy's a dominant pass rusher. He's one of the types of players that he likes. And I think, guys, forget about Brock Bowers. If I had a bet, and I feel strongly about it, Brock Bowers is going to the Jets with a number 10 pick.
Ooh,
you can
I think so, too.
Joe, great call, brother. We love your calls. Keep them coming.
You're the best. I love you, guys.
What a pleasure. What a pleasure. Yeah, I am, like, the Brock Bowers thing, just, we said it before, but I am fully out.
Yeah, I would not take
Brock
Bowers,
and I would certainly not take him at 10. Like, just could not be more out on that. Anyway, go ahead.
So the edge rusher out of UCLA that Joe was just talking about, in most years, like, he fits some of the checks you're looking for at a position. Excellent pass rusher. He has great pass rushing moves. He has a great physical frame to be an edge rusher. He's had a ton of sacks. The only concern with him is He basically retired from football 2 years ago due to a neck injury.
Oh, you don't want that?
Yeah. So, well, that's what I'm saying. In all seriousness,
yeah.
I'm with you. I think he's almost 24,
yeah.
Which is old.
That's scary.
Quick flashback. I saw something this week. Danny Watkins was 27.
Oh, he's 27?
He
I thought it was 26.
27
yeah,
years
insane.
Old.
It's insane.
It's of all the crazy all things we've seen them do, it's taking a 27-year-old offensive guard is got to be.
Well, here's the thing, too, though.
27 is insane.
Honestly, taking a 27-year-old offensive guard who stunk in the first round is that much crazy. Seriously, because you think if you're taking a 27-year-old...
He better step
in and be an all-pro from day one. Like, the fact that he not only... And obviously didn't love football, but, like, the fact that they took a 27-year-old guard in the first round and that he stunk is just... It's mind-blowing.
For as much as we kill Howie for Rager and, you know... That is the biggest draft miss we have seen. Because there's no logic for it either.
Yeah, it was just crazy. All right, let's keep it rolling. Let's go to, our guy Matt in Glenside. Ellie took a little shot at him last week. What up, Matty?
He did.
Yeah, it was outrageous. It was outrageous.
I don't know if it was a shot.
I just like to put it on the record. Outrageous.
Okay.
Yes.
Outrageous, Elliot. How dare you? My dad's picks are his own.
That's right.
I've been on here before. I admittedly, like I said, when I called last week, I just said I want a linebacker. I'm not naming names. I don't watch college football. I'm not like Justin in Tennessee. You know, I can only watch so many sports. And college football is just not one of them for me.
I don't blame you.
However, I was listening to the podcast. I believe you made the argument of taking the DN, was it Byron?
The defensive tackle. I think it's Byron Murphy.
It's Byron Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if he's available at 22, I'm with that. I mean, hearing that all these linebackers are falling around the range of 50 and 53 where the Eagles have picks, I'm good with that. And like I said, I want somebody who's going to make an impact at linebacker. I just feel like we need to address position.
So my issue with the linebackers is if it's Cooper out of Texas A&M at 50, I don't think he'll get that far. But let's say he does. That, I think, makes a ton of sense. He's young. He's super athletic. He can play man-to-man coverage against tight ends.
You've got him for 4 years at a cheap salary.
Yeah.
Which is, now, for the linebacker position, that's the goal, right? If you get a guy in the second round, it's a much cheaper salary, and it's like what the Eagles... Because that's the thing with Devin White. Nice signing, but if he's good this year, guess what? They got to pay him.
Yeah.
So I do think if they can get a second-round linebacker, there's value to it the way the Eagles do business.
Now, the other linebacker you mentioned at NC State who's been brought up a few times, Peyton Wilson. I think as a player right now, week one, snap one, he's better than Cooper. The issue with him is he's had two knee surgeries, two shoulder surgeries. I think he's had 10 surgeries overall.
Whoa.
He's 24 years old. So he checks a lot of the, like, you don't draft that kind of player boxes. But as a player,
no.
I think he could come in and contribute right away.
I don't know, man. Injuries always scare me.
No, like, I agree. I would be afraid to take him. But
yeah, 10 surgeries. Also, I just want to... say to Chris from Ocean City, I mean, if you're a fan of Sublime, I can't believe I actually looked it up. So Bradley Noel's son is now the lead singer.
Yeah, so I was wondering. I was going to ask who's singing. I mean, that's pretty cool, man. Like that would get me to be more likely to go to the Sublime show for Elliot because he's looking at me like he's like,
no,
Bradley Noel's the original lead singer of Sublime.
Yeah.
He died way back when. You know,
that's
pretty cool.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah, Bradley Noel, Elliot, he's an amazing singer. Anyway, I'm going to log off here. I'll have my dad's pick next week, but let me just leave with James. This is for you.
Yes.
It says, you're not the only one, but you're the best, Bradley. Boom, boom.
Love it.
Do you know what that is?
That was great. I am not sure.
Oh, wow. He stumped you. Stumped you from a music perspective. You don't see that often.
No, maybe it's the way he delivered. I feel like I should.
It sounded like he sang it well.
I feel like I should. I think it's probably a Sublime thing, but I couldn't place it because of the.
Is it Fish?
No, probably not.
You would know that.
I would definitely.
You would know that.
215-592-9494. All right. We're going to one more segment to go. If you're on the line, we're going to get to you. We're going to get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. One more segment to go. And we'll still be here a little longer. Leading off coming up after that as we'll get you set for Phillies Pirates at 405 right here on 94 WIP.
It's April, which means it is spring cleaning time. And spring weather means it's critical to check the status of your home's windows. Are they cracked or leaking, won't stay open, or won't open at all? Do your seals tighten to keep out the pollen and bugs, not to mention the rain, all the rain we've had recently over the last month? If any of these are problems, call Window Nation at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Right now, Window Nation is offering two windows, get two free, plus zero down, zero interest, and no payments for 24 months. Window Nation's professional installation team has over 10 years of experience. Their average installer, over 16 years of experience, and has installed over 20,000 windows. That is a ton of windows. They can install your new window in one day or less, and Window Nation's windows come with a lifetime warranty. With proven quality and service, it's no wonder thousands of homeowners have trusted Window Nation for their homes, and you can too. I wouldn't be endorsing Window Nation if I didn't have complete trust in them. They are a friend of the Go Birds pod and Go Birds radio. So call them, get a free no obligation quote right now. It's easy. Just call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule.
It's Go Birds radio. Little Eminem. You can never go wrong.
Yeah, this is seventh grade Elliot.
God,
I had the censored version of the CD at
first.
This
is college, James.
Wow.
Yeah. 215-592.
Both jamming out to the same song.
I don't
me
give
on
a
the
shit.
School bus.
Yeah,
you,
basically the
yeah.
same person. Yeah. Yes. What was that drop? Give me that again.
I don't give a shit.
Whoa.
Wait,
hey
what?
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
That's
right
what
there.
Nick should say to Howie during the draft.
Yeah, he should.
Yeah. Howie's like, I want to go.
Hey, what do
guy.
You think, Nick? Cool.
I don't give a shit.
Yep, yeah, exactly. All right. 215-592-9494. Let's get to as many calls as we can before we get out of here. Let's talk to Peter in media. You been, Pete?
Hey, I'm all right, guys. And I think you guys are both on the right track, but you're a little bit too far down the track. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you a video proof of it, actually. But real quick, just wanted to follow up. I called you guys back on the date of the Miami Dolphins Kansas City Chiefs playoff game when it was like 3 degrees and wind chill below zero. I just saw a follow up article this week. 70% of the Kansas City fans
have frostbite.
In the hot, we're going to lose limbs, amputations. Yep. Mm-hmm. And for what? To see a game on Saturday instead of Sunday or Monday? That's
or to just play it in a dome.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's a great point, Peter.
Yeah.
So listen.
Very
here's
on topic
video.
As well,
I'm going to give you a video proof of why Nick Sirianni should not be within 1,000 miles of that draft room.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think you guys are right. You guys are talking about all the building materials to build a house: the lumber, the nails, the screws, the
I've not
the
brought
support.
Those up. Yes.
And really, it starts not even with the architect, which is Sirianni, but the home buyer, which is Lori. The vision has to come from the home buyer. Here's the exact house that I want. The architect has got to put down good plans. Sirianni, here's how we're going to do it. I can tell you how Andy Reid's going to build his team and what he's going to say in that draft. I can tell you how
this is a roller coaster right now. What,
yeah. Peter, the guy in Baltimore.
Where are we going with this?
So the point is, Sirianni, I don't trust his vision. I don't trust his ability to communicate. I'd rather have the coordinators in this specific case. But ideally, a head coach should be saying to the GM, here's the parts I need exactly. Go get them. And yeah. I don't trust Sirianni to do that. And video proof is this. Go on YouTube. There's a two-minute video of the Rams and Sean McVay talking to the scout looking at Puka Nacua last year before the draft.
It was a good video. I saw it.
That and when you see here the scout give all the basic metrics. Oh, he runs this fast, he does this with the ball, he's got these measures. And then when you hear McVay go, but here's how we're going to use him.
Pete, it's a good point. Yeah, good call. Was he on both sides there? That was a roller coaster.
The house analogy.
I kept thinking he was going to play audio, and then I heard the dogs in the background. Yes. I was like, is that audio? Is he like saying dog mentality?
Yes,
like,
yeah. Oh, it's good. I didn't think about that. I mean, the clip he's talking about is a good clip.
It's a good clip.
I am certain that in the draft room, Nick explains how he would use players when they draft
them. Sure,
the Rams just released the footage.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Let's go to the Lehigh Valley and talk to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for
taking
my call. I'm an Eagles fan for over 50 years, and I'm a longtime listener, 25 years to your station.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you for listening, man.
This Latham guy from Alabama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw some mocks. He's going to go in the mid-teens.
Yeah, it seems like it.
What would the Eagles have to give up to move up and get him?
Depends where in the teens, obviously.
Yeah, and it also depends on the willingness of the team to trade the pick. But I would say if you're going from 22 to, let's say, 13, you're probably looking at the second rounder.
Yeah, and maybe even more to go to that high. But if you're going like 15, 16, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's too much. You know what I was thinking? Buffalo lost two wide receivers, Diggs and Gabe Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the Eagles could trade back with Buffalo and pick up an extra pick?
Sure, yeah, so
it's possible.
I like the idea of trading back at 22. Obviously, on draft night, we'll see who's there.
But in general, you know, I want more shots at the dartboard with this draft.
Let's go to the Northeast and talk to Joe. What up, Joe?
Hey, James.
How you doing, pal?
All right, how you make it out?
James,
I'm a kind of baseball expert, but I know a little bit about football.
I love it. Bring it, Joe.
You know, Howie acquired a defensive end, part-time player that he hopes going to even improve more snaps. Then we have another defensive end who seems to slack off in the second half of the season and Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let their best pass rusher, Hassan Reddick, go because of the money and whatever. My thing is for them to move up 10 or 12 spots and get Jarrett Verse from Florida State. This guy will make everybody forget
about
Hassan.
He's the favorite
Hassan
of our
Reddick.
Show, it seems.
He's the number one defensive end, is supposedly Turner. Is rated higher than him, right?
Yep.
But this guy, he's from Central. I was looking him up. He played 2 years at Albany. He's from Central Pennsylvania, and then he went to Florida State. He gets the sacks.
He's got 20 sacks the last 2 years.
Yeah, good. Tackle for losses.
Yeah,
he's there, and he averages over three tackles a game. He's going to be better against the rush than Reddick ever was. And if they want to make sure they got somebody who can go get the quarterback,
so he is my favorite edge rusher. I like him more than a Chop Robinson. Chop Robinson probably a better athlete, but much more raw as a prospect. So yeah, I like Jared Verse. Obviously, a bunch of callers today have said they like him. As to how much they would trade up for him, I think you're probably looking at going up to maybe 15, 16, something like that. But I would be into it. There's not a ton of snaps for him available next year, but obviously you would find a way if he was a first round pick.
Yeah, they were saying that he might go 10 or 12.
Yeah.
What do you think about him over – I haven't seen Turner play that much with Alabama, but I have seen Verse play live at the tape, and I saw him at the combines. He performed well there, speed and all. What do you think in reference to him and Turner?
Yeah, so Turner's
Joe,
only
– great call, man. We appreciate it, brother.
Turner's only 21. I think Verse is 24, so that's something you'd have to take into consideration. But in terms of athletes and players, I think they're somewhat similar to the age difference.
I love that you did in there. When you were going to Chop Robinson, you're like, yeah, a player like a Chop Robinson. You did
like that.
A player like a
yeah.
It's like Mel Kiper over here. I like it.
Draft expert.
Let's keep rolling. Let's go to Springfield and talk to Keith. Hey, Keith.
Yo, guys, how you doing?
What up, Keith? How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, man. Trying to juggle projects, listening to y'all.
Nice.
I had a quick analysis on the whole coaching nonsense, right? So culture is someone's job, and it was supposedly Nick's last year, and he screwed that up royally, so that made his the only job. So all great organizations listen to all their people, but whose authority is the distinction?
Yeah,
so I think
that's well said.
That the coordinators, they have the authority to pick the players for the scheme. Howie has the authority to define what they can play them and how they structure their contracts, and you know, Nick, pardon the blow, but his job is to make sure that they're bought in, that they're emotionally committed to the organization.
So
I think that's very well put. Yeah.
Now, I think you're diminishing Nick's role in the coordinator.
And Howie's role in scouting and all that. But I think that when you're simplifying it down, I think it's an interesting way to look at it, or at least to expect what you're expecting from them this year.
Yeah.
I think that's clever, Keith.
Yeah. Really wrapped it all up too.
Yeah, that was nice and tight. I mean, compared to the call we got a couple calls ago, I mean, that was
analogy,
like that was about the polar opposite. Well done, Keith.
Yeah, quick and done. Now I want Surtain, man. I heard him. I just can't stop thinking about him. We
me
need
too.
A stud.
Honestly, me
and I think they'd be willing to trade.
Like there is no player that who could be around in 22 or even trading up or whatever that has me close to as excited as the idea of trading that pick to get Surtain.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I can't even think about other players now. I need to start. I need to start bad.
Well, I'm sure that, you know, Howie is very aware of what's going on with that situation. He does as good a job, if not the best job in the league, of collecting information, knowing what's going on. I mean, he said that the one thing that keeps him up at night is feeling like something's happening that he's not aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So if Surtain is even
available,
like Howie will be aware, he will be in on the bidding. And I think if they trade him, I think the Eagles are high on the list of teams.
I agree with
that,
yeah. All right, Keith, great call, brother. Keep them coming. We appreciate it. And succinctly put and well done.
Yeah, I mean, it was well put. Again, I think people are diminishing Nick's role in the – I don't get why the coordinator should have input, but Nick shouldn't.
Because the coordinators were because
Nick is the coordinator's boss. Like
Nick is the one.
I
think he's their boss in terms of certain things, but in terms of like what play they're going to run, he's not. Like you know, who's calling the plays on game day? Kellen Moore, Vic Fangio. So
yeah, but Nick hasn't called plays for 2 years. I mean,
we called plays last year at times. We know he did. He even admitted on the morning show. Like yeah, so he was way more involved. And even then, if he was overseeing or whatever, he was way more involved.
Yes, I agree with that.
So yeah. I think that's the difference. All right. Coming up next, a little Phillies talk. We're going to get you set. Phillies, Pirates, game 3 of a 4-game series. They've split the first two. Phillies kind of fluctuating between being at 500 and then either under or just over. They were over it once. They were under it a few times.
I have a thought on that.
I believe the fourth time that they've been at 500 this season. Hopefully they can get back over today. We'll get you set for that game. If you want to call in and talk Phillies, 215-592-9494. We'll take those calls. I see Carl right there. Carl talks some Phillies with us. Feel free to call in as well, as we've got leading off coming up next. We're going to get set for Phillies Pirates coming up at 4:05 right here on 94 WIP. And again, thank you to everyone who called in. We couldn't do the show without you. We appreciate all our real ones. Really appreciate everyone calling into Go Birds Radio.
As always.
Of course, we'll be back next week with another edition of Go Birds Radio right here on 94 WIP.